You know, I mention this a lot. You know, we sing the song like, "Here I am to worship." You know, you're going to have to, really, you're going to have to serve somebody. I mean, in this world, in this life, you are going to worship something or somebody. And I think that's every time I hear that song, you know, there's so many forms of worship today, Kathy. I mean, worship this, worship that, especially movements. If you see movements today, they want you to worship movements. They want you to come behind this and come behind that. And basically, you're going to have to serve somebody. And the only way that it can be well with your soul is by way of the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of who he is. Or else our soul is... You ever notice people are always uneasy? They're always uneasy. It's not really well with people's soul because they're really uneasy, because they really, really, there's nothing well with their soul unless they are trusting in Christ and him crucified and resurrected. And with that, Nikki, nothing formed against you shall stand. Nothing. If you are in Christ, nothing formed against you shall stand. All the ideologies, all the stuff you see, none of it is going to have the last say. Miss Carolyn, only Christ and him crucified and resurrected. That's going to have the last say in this world. Sickness and all that stuff is all going to be defeated by what Christ did on that cross. And you know what? Right, Rach? You're either on one side or the other. You're going to have to serve somebody. Let's stand. You know, before we pray in the service, we use this few minutes that Miss Kathy plays for reflection on our own life, for reflection on our own sin. So before we come before a holy God, we are repentant of our sins, because the Bible says, Miss Kathy, if you repent of your sins, what? He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So as we come, you know, we stand on holy ground. I mean, this is where we hear God's word. We worship together. It's all worship. It's not only the singing, the speaking of the word, the singing is all worship before the Lord. And we remember when any time, even when Joshua was, when he seen the pre-incarnate Christ, he took off his shoes because he was on what? Holy ground. We're on holy ground this morning. And we need to be on holy ground, because the world, I'll tell you one thing, is not on holy ground. So let's take this time. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for the few minutes that we reflect and repent of our sins, knowing you are faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. We pray, Lord, that your word is spoken today, Lord, with power and might to convict, to encourage, to contemplate. Let the word of God let us contemplate on this world and where we are and what is really important to us. I think that's always been the case. What is really important to us? Is it the temporal world or the eternal world in Christ? So we challenge myself first and all of us as we listen to God's word, as we contemplate before we listen, that in Jesus' name the Spirit of God may bless us and keep us and shine his light upon us. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the mighty book of Revelation for a second, and then we'll get to Amos. So I wanna Revelation's easy. If you can't find, right? Revelation's easy to find. Last book, right? Shouldn't have a problem. Revelation and Genesis. Just go to the last book of the Bible. Go to the go to the ninth division of Revelation. So I want. Okay. So let's just settle down a second. So I want you to be good readers, good hearers of the text. I want you to be good readers. So we're going to see here, which is really important in trying to interpret Scripture sometimes, we're going to see a... Now watch me for a second. We're going to see a hearing and seeing motif. This is important. In this section, I want you to look, Tony, for what's heard and what's saw. Because that's really important, because you're going to see at the end of the passage what's not heard and what cannot be heard and not be seen. So that's important. So these are what we call writing conventions that John uses here. Now I'll inflect my voice a little bit if I may, but I want you to think about the word, Miss Carolyn, hearing and seeing. It's really important. Let me start in the ninth division of Revelation, starting with the 12th verse. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates, and the four angels who had been prepared for that hour, day, month, and year, were released so they would kill a third of mankind. So this is partial judgment. A third of mankind, right, would be killed. The number of the armies of the horsemen were 200 million. Now here it is. I heard the number of them, and this is how I what? Saw. Hearing, seeing, in the vision, the horses and those who sat on them, the riders had breastplates, the color of fire of hyacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses are like heads of lions, and out of their mounts proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. Again, a third of mankind was killed by three plagues, by fire, by smoke, by brimstone, which proceeded out of their what? Out of their mouths, right? Out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their where? In their mouths and their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not want, did not repent of their works of their hands. Now watch this. So as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither what? See nor what? Hear. Very, very important of what John is saying, no walk. And they did not turn around. They did not come back. They did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their morality, nor of their thefts. In Jesus' name. So I want to introduce you to this kind of hearing and seeing motif, right? So this section of Scripture looks at multiple warning shots, right? Judgment is looming. Judgment is looming. There's a call for repentance, right? Right? As the four angels, they wreak havoc on a sinful world as the six trumpet thunders. Now, what kind of angels are these? They were demonic angels. And I'm going to show you the sovereignty of God that has these angels locked down. Because God is in control. He's sovereign. Right? It shows God's ultimate sovereignty over the universe, and these demonic angels were retained against their will and now released, verse 15, to harm the people on this earth. Now, how many people were killed? A third of mankind. It speaks about partial judgments. These are warning shots. No matter how you read the book of Revelation, whether you read it as a picture book, literal, the end of the day, these are, for me, they're pictures of warning shots. A third of mankind is killed. I don't believe that's literal, but I believe it's something you need to consider. It's something you need to consider. It's something I need to consider. Because right now, Tony, it's just partial judgment. Someday, it's going to be what? Full judgment. So these, for me, are warning shots, right? So we see here that John is giving us these warning shots. And what is the premise here? What is the key point? You need to what? Give me the word. You need to what? Repent. You need to return from where you were. And so Beal says, look at this, the three plagues of fire, smoke, and brimstone, coupled with a third of mankind destroyed, they still don't repent. They still don't repent. The ungodly do not repent from what? The work of his hands. And you can see in 20 and 21, there's a ton of violations. Murders, sorceries, immorality, thefts. Now, I look at that list. You just think about that. Murders, sorceries are like witchcraft or the occult, horoscopes. Don't charge me, right? Notice the section here. Murders, immorality, thefts. You know, are you immoral? And so here's these huge things in the same context as murder. See, now look at this. There's something here. See, they can't see or hear. So in light of what we just read, we must remember the context concerning the book of Revelation. These letters were written to what? To the seven churches. And we see in some of these letters that some of them were compromising with the culture. Two of the churches were good, following the things of God, but five of the churches were compromising with the culture. Here's our question first. Are you, am I, compromising with the culture? See, you can't serve two masters. You can't. You can't serve your job and the church. You can't serve your family first in the church. Yes, family's important, job is important, but the thing is, what is your priorities in life? Because if we read this book and we just say, oh, this is for... No, there's so much meaning here, because for me is what's important in your life. Because right now there is partial judgment on this world. We see it. We know it. But at the end of the day, someday, there's going to be full-blown judgment on the unbelievers in this world. So here's my question to me first. Cindy, how serious do we take this? Amos is going to talk about this. When we get to Amos, you're going to see he's going to speak about the same thing to get your attention. I want to, me first, get your attention. Where are you really at in the things of God? How important is this to you? I think that's a serious question. That's a fair question, isn't it, Jan? It's a fair question. Right, Pam? We want to see, we're family. We want to lay it on the line. We want to, Tony, we want to, Ashley, we want to make sure that we are right. Right? We don't, right, Ben? We don't want to soft stroke this stuff. You know, this is serious stuff. So when I read this stuff, I see a seriousness here. Now, whatever your view, no matter how you read Revelation, you know, because some people might believe, well, and that's okay, that there might be a rapture of the church, and so this is for other people and some people. At the end of the day, here's the bottom line. If there is a rapture of the church, praise the Lord, we'll all be there. But if there's not, the question is, are you ready? That's the question. That's a fair question, isn't it? Are you ready? Are you ready? John says, I'm a brother in the tribulation. I'm a brother in the Philippians. But that doesn't matter. That's not the point of this. There were some churches that were compromising with the culture. So this causes for deep spiritual self-examination. So let's listen, if we can't take, and we're going to be studying this on Wednesday night when we get to our, what are we doing, Tony? Is it a Bible study, then a book study, right? So we're going to be cramming everything in on Wednesday night. We might be here Wednesday till Sunday. So we just, Rach, make sure we eat. Make sure you feed us, right? So we got to eat. But here's my point. I want to take this and I want to try to apply it to today, right? So are we accommodating the culture? That's one thing, one question. It's a huge question, right? And then it says here in verse 19, the power of the horses is in their what? Now, talk to me. The power of the horses is in their what? What's this? In their mouth. Now, we were speaking in Bible study today about some false teachers. One heretic and one false teacher, right? And where does the power come? In their mouth. False teaching is something that comes out of somebody's what? Their mouth, right? So I was talking to Miss Cindy this morning, and we had some good conversation, all of us did, about you have to know your Bible. You have to be able to, when the pastor is preaching the word of God, you got to know your word, because he can tell you anything. And that's really, listen, I want to be challenged first, right? So you have to know your word. You have to read your word. You have to rightly divide the word of truth, because then anybody can tell you anything behind the pulpit. Right, Cindy? And we discuss this, and we challenge each other with this. I'm not talking about secondary issues or tertiary issues. I'm speaking about sound biblical doctrine, because out of the mouth is where false teaching comes from. The Bible says, let there not be many what, Glenda? Teachers. And so here the deception here is from the mouth. It's from that's why we have to know our word. False teaching has lethal power, including death and deception representative in their tales, right? The worship here is of what? Temporal realities depicted as verse 21. Look at, this is the things that we are in. See, at the end of the day, here's the thing. This is hard to say. We like what we see. We are touchy-feely people. See, we like the temporal. We enjoy living in the temporal. But here's the thing. If you are a true Christian today, the temporal does not have the last say. You can enjoy yourself in here in this world, but at the end of the day, Jason, you know time is short. It goes fast. You too, Nikki. You're getting old, kid. It goes fast. It just does. And so a lot of times we're so focused on the temporal and we forget about the eternal. And I think the picture here is, and you're going to see Amos speak the same thing. We're going to kind of line this up in a second when we get to Amos. This passage in Revelation is showing the power of deception. False teachers who would lead some astray, including false practices of worship, leading to the impending doom of God's judgment. These are warning shots, man. Listen, I don't care. Listen, these are warning shots. Where are you really at? Where am I really at? You don't know. Tomorrow's not promised. These are warning shots. In the Epistle of Jude, Jude depicts that these false teachers without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried away by all winds of doctrine. These passages teach us one thing for sure. Christians who are, now hear this. Christians who are flirting with compromise with the world should think twice. Listen, I say this, and I really mean this. I really do. You guys know me. Why would you want to sit on the fence? Why would you soft stroke this stuff? If you're going to live for the world, go out and live for the world. Really. Don't soft stroke this. If you're really in this, if you really are in the things of God, praise the Lord. If you're not, this is a call back to what? To repent, to return. That's the question here, to return, to repent. And that's what John is saying. The work of one's hand speaks loudly. Contextually, the whole book of Revelation is about worship. It's about worship. The song Nikki picked, it's about worship. Here's the question. Tony, who are you going to worship? Who are you going to worship? The whole book of Revelation is about worship. And it's who you're going to worship, right? You either worship according to your own hands, the work of your own hands, or submit to the true worship of the living God. Judgment in this section causes us to reflect on our own worship, what it may or may not consist of. This judgment does not come without warning, but it does come with consequence. Let me say that again. The judgment does come with warning, but if not heeded, it comes with what? Talk to me. Consequence, for sure. 1,000%. You've been warned. I've been warned. Right? Beel depicts we become what we worship. We start resembling what we worship. We become what we worship. I mean, let me tell you something. Don't charge me. I'm going to mention this later anyway, so it doesn't matter. If you charge me now, charge me later. It don't matter. We become what we worship. You see how many ideologies today in the world people are worshiping? You see some of these movements today? You see them? I mean, people are sold out for them. You don't, well, maybe people, you put on the news? You watch these people in the street? And I mean, they are sold out for what they do. Now, you can say, well, that's today. Well, look in the book of Acts. Remember we were talking about the Diana cult, right? I mean, they were sold out for that. You see the way they were shouting for hours, hours and hours. Do you understand? People are sold out for these temporal realities. Movements and ideologies. And we have a king, a sovereign king. The question is, are we sold out for that? That's the question. I think they're coming for you, Harlan. Security's coming. I see them. We become who we worship. People revere, they resemble. Either your worship is going to be for ruin or restoration. There is a dire need here for people to what? Return. Come back. Listen, go to Amos. I'm going to be right there in a second, Miss Ashley. Go to Amos for a second. Here's the deal. We preach the gospel here on Sunday. We're always calling people to return. We're always calling people to repent. I don't know your heart, and you don't know mine, but a man is known by his what? Talk to me. Fruits by his, right? But here's the deal. Ron, if we don't call people to return, if we don't call people to repent, then what good is this? Because there are people that come to church that are not where they need to be. Just the way it is. That's why we have a call to repent, right? So let's go to Amos. Now watch some of the language, especially partial judgment. Now watch some of the language we read here in Amos. I want to keep it in context. Even though the first three verses we did last week, Ashley, remember, I got a lot of phone calls about the old cows of Bashan. Yeah, I knew I would too. You know, but the thing is, they were women. They were just a metaphor for women. Remember, I told you Amos is a wordsmith. That's just the way Amos is. He's a man with kind of slogans. He uses slogans. So I want to go over I'm not going to go over those three verses because I don't want no more trouble, but I am going to mention them. And then I'll go past them quickly. But this is important stuff. Let's go to the fourth division of Amos. Let's try to. Now, what did I say when it says hear this word? What does that mean? Who said that? It's a sermon, right? That when there's like three or four sermons in the book of Amos. So when you say hear this word, this here is he's starting a sermon here. So hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring now that we may drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, behold, the days are coming upon you when they will take you away with meat hooks and the last of you with fish hooks. You will go out through the breaches in the walls, each one straight before her, and you will be cast to Harmon, declares the Lord. This is captivity. We spoke about that. Now today's passages. Enter Bethel and transgress. In Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a thank offering also from that which is leavened, and proclaim free will offerings. Make them known. For so you love to do, you sons of Israel, declares the Lord God. But I have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, lack of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Have not returned to me, right? Returned to me. Further, I withheld the rain from you while they were still 3 months until harvest. Then I would send rain on one city, and another city I would not send rain. Partial judgment, right? One part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up. So two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. Yet you have not what? Returned to me, declares the Lord. I smote you with scorching wind, all temporal judgment, mildew, and the caterpillar was devouring, and many gardens and vineyards and fig trees and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword, along with your captured horses, and I made the stench of your camp rise in your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand snatched from a blaze, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this for you. Here it is, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what are his thoughts, and he makes the dawn into darkness and treads on the high places of the earth, the Lord of hosts is his name. Listen, this dude's a preacher. What is his preach? You have not returned. He is preaching repentance. You have not returned to me. And so here we see Amos, who we know is a wordsmith, here preaching repentance. Now, last week we asked a term that when Amos uses the term, hear this word, it's what, Kim? It's a sermon, right? We're starting a sermon, right? He's beginning a new sermon, and we remember his sermon started last week addressing, I'll do it lightly, Miss Kathy. He was addressing the female elite class, right? He calls them cows of Bashan, right? These women, most likely were the elite of society, wanted to feed their passions. They used their husbands to indulge in their worldly appetites. They were addicted to certain lifestyle, no matter the cost. Listen, God addresses your lifestyle. He addresses your lifestyle. Let me leave it at that. I don't want to get myself in trouble. And as mentioned, now look at verse 3. They're about to go into captivity. So now Amos leaves no stone unturned and warns the people to return to repent from their ways. Now look what he deals with here. Now I want you to be, I know that Amos is a wordsmith, so he's a little convoluted, but I'm going to break down what he means. But he deals with two things here, Jason. He deals with religion and the economy. Man, this is an 8th century prophet. Ain't nothing changed but the zip code. He is dealing with religion, Larry, and he's dealing with the economy. We don't hear that today, right, Miss Ashley? Nothing about the religion? What's that? Economy? Nobody cares about money, right? Okay. All right. I'll leave that out there, right, Harlan? Religion and the economy. Now, before you even get to that, see, I like to get to the good part first, right, Kathy? Remember I told you about, let me say this first, religion and the economy, and we'll find out in these texts that God has complete power over the universe as he administers again. Here he administers what? Partial judgments, right? One city has rain, one doesn't. Ain't nothing changed but the zip code, right? New Testament, Old Testament, everything is lining up. Everything is what? Repent, return. Where you at? It don't matter in the book of Revelation. It don't matter in Amos. Rachel, where is your heart? You need to return. I need to return. That's the message. I don't care what your view is on Revelation or anything. Amos, he's a word picker. He's a wordsmith. And he's telling you, repent, return, because that's the only way to salvation. So we now watch this. Now look at verse 13. It's that what? Merismus, right? God, now remember this, God makes the dawn into the darkness. Anytime you see that, I know it's a fancy word, but we're familiar with it from Bible study, right? A merismus. If God is over the darkness and the light, that means he's over what? Everything what? In between. So that's what they call, scholars call a merismus. So if God creates the day and the night, Tony, what does that mean? Everything in between. Everything is his. He's sovereign over everything. He's not on his throne, God forgive me, biting his nails and saying, oh, what happened on Fox or CNN? I didn't think that would happen. He's in control of everything. Don't you understand? Nothing is happening outside his purview. But the message is what, Ben? Return. Come back. Repent. That's the thing. The child is telling you, repent, see? Return. Like one crying in the wilderness. And then the omniscient God is revealed as one who declares to man what his thoughts are. Wait a minute. Wait, see, what let me read that again. He knows. Wait a minute. Jason, Nikki, he knows exactly what you're thinking right now. Every time I tell that to Rachel, she goes, that's scary. I mean, just think, no, really, think about that. He knows. If you're saying, man, I can't wait for this dude to be finished preaching, he knows. He knows, Tony. He knows everything that you're thinking about. See, that's the merism. When I see, he knows the thoughts of men. We don't really think, Kimmy, do we really believe he knows that? Every time you're thinking something, right, we'll say it again. Give her a microphone. You heard your mom, Ashley? She said, I don't know. I'm not my guy. I got to be careful. I'm behind the pulpit. She says, we don't want him to know sometimes what we're thinking. Chief, we can't stop it, though. He knows every one of our thoughts. Just remember that, Rachel, when you get mad at me. He knows every one of our thoughts. Look at verses 4 and 5. Now, this is important. Now, wait a minute. Now, watch this. When you read that, now without knowing context, it says, oh, you're bringing the tithes, sacrifices, you're proclaiming free will offerings, but you know what it is? It's religious showmanship. See, I love this. See, Amos is not afraid. He kind of gets you under the fifth rib, right? So Amos knows they're just coming to church to come to church. It doesn't matter. Oh, you know, take all the money and the checks, put it in there. Look at me. You ain't nothing but a showman, Amos is saying. This ain't from here. So you see all that when you read this. Oh, they go to Bethel. But they go to Bethel in what? What's the word? They transgress. They go to the church house and they transgress because there's no repentance of sin in any of these rituals. It don't matter what you put in the offering box. It doesn't. It's what's in your heart. And this is God, listen, if the judgment begins in the household of God, how much more for the other? I mean, this is, Amos is there saying, you guys are, here's the prisons. He says, you guys are faking in the game, man. Look, Harlan looks all holy and stuff, right? I'm only kidding. Right? You're faking in the game. That's why they tell him in the seventh chapter, Tony, who's this dude, this fig picker, man? Send him back to Judah. We liked when Jonah was here. Jonah was extending our borders. He was prophesying everything's going to be okay. And then Jonah goes to Nineveh, and here comes Amos. He says, I'm neither a prophet or a son of a prophet. And they want to tell the men, go back to Judah. We don't, the Bible will say later that the words, we can't hold your words. You know why, Judy? Because he's telling them to repent. God knows your heart. Don't charge me, right? I mean, this is serious stuff. They went to the church house. They're putting in the money. They're all dressed nice, got a nice tie. They look handsome like Gene back there, right? I'm getting you, Gene, because you're wallowing the mire, right? And Gene is back there. But at the end of the day, it's what's in here. And this is what Amos is saying. Remember, Amos is a fig picker. I mean, this is this dude. I mean, he's not a prophet or a son of a prophet. Their religious actions, now get this, do not dictate their lifestyle. These so-called worshipers have no regard, now wait a minute, for biblical justice. So you're saying, well, oh, here we go. Well, you think about stuff. Now why do I say that? Why am I talking about biblical justice? What's the difference? Should we start a little trouble or what? No, I'm only kidding. What's the difference between social justice and biblical justice? That's a huge question. You better know that today. It's a huge question, right? So their religious actions do not dictate their lifestyle. These so-called worshipers have no regard for biblical justice. They take advantage of the less fortunate. You can't compare social justice with biblical justice. Two different things. Please. Now I'm going to say this in a minute. For Christians, biblical justice must promote the truth of the gospel, not any secular agendas. Biblical justice puts who first? God first. These people were entering into worship while they were taking advantage of the less fortunate, not promoting equal opportunity. Now I'm gonna break this down in a second. God always had a heart for the poor, but let me explain this how this is important. Old Testament, Book of Ruth, one of my favorite books, right? We all know Ruth. Okay. Boaz, we all know Boaz, right? Don't start, Miss Ashley. There's no Boazes left. Every time I mention Boaz, Miss Ashley says, I'm looking for a Boaz. Right, she says, I want a Boaz, right? Boaz was a pretty cool dude. Pam, don't start. I see your mind is, Pam's mind is already gone. I already see. What Boaz would do, he would take the food and he would put it on the outskirts of the farm for who? For the poor unfortunate, right? So Ruth tells Naomi, right, that I need to go out and glean. I need to go out. She's got to go out. See, Boaz gives her equal opportunity, right? But she's still got to go do it, right? Now hear this. Equal opportunity, not equal results. See, the social justice movement wants equal results, but biblical justice wants to give you equal opportunity. You see, Glenda, you see it? This is a serious thing. And the Book of Ruth looks at this phenomenon. Amos calls these people transgressors or rebels. God is saying that they're multiplying rebellion. They are covenant rebels. Instead of offering the poor opportunity, they're taking advantage of the poor. Right? They have broken covenant with God, who knows every thought and action. Now, here's something. And I spoke to Judge Rachel about this last night before. You heard me on the phone, right? I spoke to somebody, right? Social justicians use the poor, now hear this, to promote their agenda. They want equal results for the poor, but do not offer any equal opportunity, taking the focus off themselves. Most of the proponents of this movement are loaded with money. They're loaded with money, right? They got to, and they want equality, but they're not offering them opportunity. You see it? And it's so, Ron likes that. No, I'm, but see, Ron, it's so close. It's so close. But the social justicians put man first. The biblical justice puts God first. This is important. See, if we don't address the culture, Harlan, what good are we? We have to address this stuff in the church house. And someday, we may be deeply persecuted for it. Are we willing? Are we willing to stand up, Tony? Keep them tools out. I'm only kidding, Tony. Keep your gardening tools handy. But this is why the Bible speaks to today. Are we putting God first? Are we putting God first? That's the question. See, Amos seeds through them. They're just doing, not only are they doing ritualistic worship, they're taking advantage of the poor. They're taking advantage of the poor. Now, we've discussed the economy. Now religion, right? I mean, see, Amos gets you right under the fifth rib, man. He's not talking about, what was it we were talking about on what this morning, Ben? Oh, your best life now, that dude, right? Oh, this is your best life. No, he's coming right at the heart. He's saying he's going right in your pocketbook and right at your worship. Because you're going to have, Nikki, prophetic almost, right? You're going to have to serve somebody. What kind of worship is it? Economy and religion. Huge. This is an 8th century prophet. People say, oh, chief, those people back then, they don't know. We wish we knew half of what they knew. And here he is hitting. Now he's going to go what? Deals with the economy. Now he's going to go to religion. Shalom Paul depicts in verse 5, even though the sacrifice is done correctly, it is the ones that are bringing the sacrifices that would be under judgment. Their hearts are not right. Their hearts are not right. This is a heart issue. No repentance or return on their part. They have rebelled by feeding their passion, which makes their worship null and void. See, you remember I says about Eugene Peterson. Now, when you would walk, I said this, but it's worth saying again. Rachel, don't charge me on this. When you used to walk into the sanctuary, I think it was in Minnesota, that's a hot place today, right? Hot topic today, right? But when you would walk into this church that he had in Minnesota, you know what it would say? Ashley, right? Beware the God. See, we've lost that today. You know, we got God as like a flimsy grandfather, like on a thing. No, beware the God. He's a serious God. I mean, he's a loving God, but he will bring judgment. Right? I mean, so we want to, Amos is saying, where's your heart at? Dominic, first. Tony, second. And Rachel, third. And you fourth, Harlan, you're not exempt either. Right? Where's your heart at? This is Amos's plight. We want to know, are we sold out for this? Right, Kathy? This is the question. Are we sold out? The challenge of the passage is, does any of this reflect our own lives? It's a hard issue. Are we just coming to church ritualistically, saying all the right things, and we know our heart is somewhere else? That's exactly what the Bible is saying here. They come to Bethel and Gilgal, which were places of worship, to what? Transgress. To sin. Man, we don't need to sin here. We can sin home. But that's what we do, because we do things in ritualistic. It's not really a heart issue. We do it because it's, you know, it's something we need to reflect. Nikki, listen. Cheryl, there's too much at stake. Well, I mean, there's just too much at stake. God knows every thought that we're thinking, every minute of the day. Correct worship does not make the worshiper correct. That's a mouthful, right, Glinda? Correct worship does not make the worshiper correct. That's the prescription that Amos is portraying here. It's a heart issue. We know how the Bible describes one heart. It's what? Deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Man is totally depraved, needs a heart change. All the rituals in the world will not affect one's heart. That must be a supernatural work of God. Listen, Shalom Paul says, and we've discussed this, because meticulous worship, let me say this. God is no sorcerer's agent. Nick Bratcher, Rachel. He told me God is, you know what that means? You want to give you the want to break that down? God is not a genie in a bottle, man. People preach today that God is a genie in a bottle. God is no genie in a bottle. He's the sovereign of the universe. Listen, you're going to have to, listen. Jason, there's too much at stake, man. We put too much... Gay, Mike, you know, we put too much into this world, Larry. It's just when we put too much, Larry's going like this. He's going, amen, right? We just put too much into this world. Larry will tell you how fast it is. Larry's what, 97, Gary? He's 90, what, 8? Oh, Gary's going like this. 98, Harlan. 98. I bet he can tell you a thing or two about false worship, right? He's been around a long time. But so that's the thing. We want to challenge each other. This is true worship. Now, well, look what happens here. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? Remember the Pharisee? The Pharisee was saying, Lord, look what I do for you. I tithe the tenth of my money. I help the poor. I do this. Look at me. Right? And then the publican, who don't know no better, he bows his head down and he says, Lord, I am not even worthy to come before you. It's a heart issue. You see, it's a heart issue. Outward, this is not an outward religion. It's where your heart's at. That publican was a guy that couldn't even go. They wouldn't even let a guy like that into the temple. He'd have to stay outside. And he turns around and says, Lord, I am not even worthy to even walk in there. And the Bible says he was justified. Doesn't matter. I did this, I did that, I do that, I did this. It's where your heart's at. The sovereignty of God is on display in these verses because of their false worship, like we mentioned in Revelation. God will take matters into his own hands. Look at verse 6 through 13. We have that cause and effect. God has removed to cause certain things like food to be scarce, but no repentance. Right? Food. The food was scarce. Man, if we miss a meal, we want to go crazy. Right, Brianna? I mean, right, we hear the food was scarce. You know, I withheld rain here, I withheld food here. Still no repentance. No repentance, no worship. In 7 and 8, we have water shortages in certain areas. We have mentioned again, there's no repentance. The question is, are we paying attention to cause and effect in our own lives? Are we paying attention? Do we pay attention to the things that are happening in this world, the temporal judgments that are happening in this world today? Are we paying attention? Is there temporal judgments today? Right? I mean, are we paying attention? They're warning shots. See, if we believe Amos speaks to today, Chief, we believe the book of Revelation speaks to today. We believe the New Testament and the Old Testament speak to today. All of it, Jason, is warning shots. Where are you really at? Where am I really at? There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. Now watch this. Watch this. In the book of Revelation, we saw the havoc that was being wreaked on the world, but there was no reflection, no timeouts, no contemplation despite the warnings. The things that are happening in this world today, the different weather patterns, the diseases, the food shortages, the pandemics, the wars are all represented in verse 9 through 11. You can't make this up in a bet. All of this is represented today. Dan, am I right? I mean, it's all there. This is why our answers are right in the Word of God. The answers are not known by political pundits, even medical evaluations. The answer is rebellion against the Holy God. That's it. This is a dire time for reflection in our own lives. Is this not our world today? We see all these things happening. Why is all these things happening? Why? It's a three-letter word. What's that? Yeah, who said that? Somebody? Yeah, how does that, what is that thing? What was that show? S, vowel, give me a vowel. What is that? The match game. What is that, Rachel, when they turn over the letters? Wheel of Fortune. Okay, what did I say, the match game? You remember Jim, what was the guy, Gene Rayburn, remember him, Glinda? Glinda's saying, what are you putting my age on the block for? Sin. Do you know why we see the stuff we see on TV? Sin. That's why. But if you go say that on one of the news programs, you're finished. Okay? There she goes. Old, little quiet Miss Carolyn. Don't we love her? The cancel culture is at large, isn't it? Ron is saying, amen, brother. They will cancel you out in a second. In a second. If you tell them the world's problems today are sin, Tony, they'll tell you to get out of town by sundown. But that's the problem. That's the problem. It's sin. That's why I want me first and you for your worship, Pam, to be correct. I want your heart to be right by God the Holy Spirit, because at the end of the day, this is not going to have the last say. Selena, that stuff is too, there's too much at stake, right? I mean, there's just too much at stake. And Amos is, he's bringing it, you know, right? Listen, here's the deal. You know what? You can hear all this stuff, but you know what? Here's the deal. There's still time to repent. See, don't you understand? This minute, this second in your heart, if you're not right, you can repent today and believe the gospel. But that's got to, Harlan, fellow elder, brought this up in Bible study. So did Ben. So did Dana. It's not about some prayer you said 42 years ago. Get Miss Carolyn. Miss Carolyn's preaching today, man. She went like this. It's a heart issue. If I do that, you can hear the noise. I seen you, Miss Carolyn. You know, Judy will tell you, I watch everything, right, Judy? Judy says every time I whisper, he hears everything. Verse 12 is a stark verse. The Lord is telling Israel, here it is, we got to end somewhere. I mean, I can do this for 6 hours. You guys will hate me. You guys will all leave. But here's the bottom line. I'm going to preach it to you. Prepare to meet your God. Verse 12. I love Amos. Look what Amos. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel, O people of God. Are you ready to meet God today? Are you ready? If you're standing in Christ, you're ready, because what he did it for you. The question is, are you truly standing in Christ? That's a fair question, right? It's a fair question. Are you truly standing in Christ? Kim, you can't charge me on that. The seed picker is saying it. Are you ready to meet God? All the injustice, all the rebellion against this holy God will someday be meted out with perfect punishment. Why? Because he's sovereign, he's king, the only king, and we have rebelled. This is why we need a Savior. We need someone to stand in our stead. Here's the gospel. Because all of us are rebels without a cause. All of us are rebels. And you know what, Rachel? We have no reason to be rebels. But we're rebels. We're chief rebels. We're chief sinners. There's too much at stake. The one who forms the mountains, verse 13, creates the wind, knows our thoughts, will hold all accountable. If you're standing in Christ, he does not look at Judy. He does not look at Harlan. Welcome back, Miss Sue. Cece, he doesn't look at Miss Sue. He looks at Christ. If you're in Christ, he doesn't look at you. He can look at you. You're a sinner. But if you're in Christ, he looks at Christ, who knew no sin and became sin, so you, Glinda, can become the righteousness of God in Christ. Melville, what a story. This is a redemption story, right? The Bible says he's so good to us. He reigns on the just and the unjust. And think about the ones who are in Christ, the wrath that we deserve. You only know, here's the only way you know this. Listen, you know you deserve wrath only when you're a Christian, right? Or else you think you're great. Everything's okay. I'm a good husband. I'm going to take care of my future wife. I'm doing well. Everything's going to be okay. Until you realize who you are in Christ, then you realize you're a rebel. Tony? Ashley? Were you a rebel? Me too. And it's only when you become saved that you know that you were a rebel without a cause. Who sung that? Billy Idol. Come on, you guys don't know nothing about that stuff, man. Right. But here's the good news. If you're in Christ, who again takes everything that we deserve, and what does he do? He nails it to the cross. If you are a Christian, your sin and your shame and your guilt has been nailed right here, right on this cross if you're a Christian. Nailed right here. That's the good news. That's the good news. Nailed right to the cross. Oswald Chambers depicts that the cross of Christ is the revealed truth of God's judgment on sin, which bridged the gap back to our sovereign creator. And so because we have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives me in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. In Jesus' name. What a picture. Notice all the bad news first, then we get to the good news. Right, Ron? Because at the end of the day, this is good news. Because we're breathing. But if you died yesterday in your sin, this is not good news. Is it? How would you know? Right, Glinda? That's why we preach the gospel every opportunity we get. What can they do? Get sick of me? There's too much. Don't laugh, Kim. I see you smiling. Miss Ashley, you got to deal with her later. You got it, right? There's too much at stake. I love Amos. Amos don't play around. You have to know. The Bible says we don't even know our own heart. That's why if there's something in your life, just cry out to the Lord. He's a good God. Rachel, is he not a good God? The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Listen, we got three more people joining the church today. Three more. And you know, we want people to know us first, because we are a pretty weird bunch. Jan is going like this. Jan says, yeah, I guess so. But we love our Savior, don't we, Jan? That's, we know we are Christians by our what, Gene? By our love, right? We take it serious here when you join this church. We don't just have anybody walk an aisle to join a church. We have an elder that puts them through the ringer. He does. I mean, he spends 2 hours. You think I preach long? He spends 2 hours with them. And I'm there every session. Right, Arlen? Here's my challenge. While today is today, if you are not right, only you know. If this here's the question. Is this your whole life? Do you eat, sleep, and drink Christ? Selena, that's a challenge. That's a serious. We could ask those questions, right? I mean, is this our life? Do we live and breathe Christ? Right? I mean, we can ask them. I mean, it's church. If we don't ask them here, what are we going to ask them? I'm not going to tell you that at a toll booth. They don't even have toll booths here, right? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for us, just for this, for the message, and then I'm going to have the three people that are joining the church to come up here, and then I'm going to turn it over to Harlan, and Harlan's going to, I like to induct them into the, ask the congregation if they have any issues. But I'll tell you one thing before I pray. Every person that joins this church, they allowed to ask any question. They've listened to us. If they go to the Bible study, if they go to the Sunday schools, if they know they can come up here, that's okay. We love, they can, don't, let them come. Don't worry. They can come. You come on. Don't worry about the babies. They can come. All of them can come up. We don't care. We want them. We'll pick them up and preach with them in our arms. No matter. We love the kids. Right, Judy? We don't care. Let's stand because I lost my thought. Dear Lord, we love you and honor you. And Lord, here's what I ask, even for me first. And look at our own. Let us be able, only by your grace can we know if our heart is deceitfully wicked. Because we all think, we know, we say it. We're the first one we look at when we look at a picture. We know our hearts are just deceitfully wicked. But Lord, reveal our own hearts to us so that we may repent and believe the gospel. That's what's important. Doesn't have to be, and if somebody wants to come up and pray, that's fine. But they, you know, they can, in their seat, in their home, on their way home, they have to realize where they are at with the Lord. That's the main thing here. So with that, I beg you, Lord, I beg you that if there's someone here today that only you sovereignly decree these things. You can bring them in a church service and you sovereignly decree that their heart will be changed on that day before the foundations of the world. If this is the day, Lord, let it happen according to your will through the preached word of the gospel. We pray, Lord, for the members that are joining this church in the next couple of minutes. We pray for my fellow Elder Harlan as he introduces them to the congregation. They came under scrutiny, Lord, in the fact that, you know, they answered questions. We spoke. They looked at our doctrine. We spoke to them. And by God's grace, they want to be part of our family. And we don't take that lightly. They are part of our family. That means we are family to them as well as them being family to us. Please, as Amos said, as the book of Revelation said, repent and believe the gospel in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Be seated. Ashley, am I okay? Keep it on. That's fine. Keep it on. Harlan, you got a mic?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, good. Let's keep it on. That's Chief's call, not mine. Oh, that's even on the tape too then. So, Selena, you guys, can you? I know Selena. Ray.
Selena.
You got the mic on, Harlan? Okay. It's on.
Okay.
You guys okay?
Bring
shower is always that God brings people to us that desire that He wants here. And so it's a real honor to introduce them this morning. We, after attending the new members class and discussing a lot of things, getting to know each other and accepting the doctrine of Letters God Baptist Church, it's our recommendation as elders we accept Selena Ray.
Praise the Lord, man. They'll figure it out later, right, Harlan?
God bless. Thank you all.
Harlan, you pray and then we'll worship. We'll sing the last song. How's that? Yeah.
It is.
It is. That's okay.